You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WWWTCM News Talk 580. It's time for New Retirement Radio with Prout Financial Design. Starting off and starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
It is great to be here. Thank you, Ron. On March 21st, 2024, Thursday, if you are listening live today, it is live. Thank you very much.
It is
Thursday. Thank you. And if you have a question of a financial nature that you would like to ask, our phone number and or text, if you would, Ron, is please.
It's all one number. You can text us at this number or call the number, 231, call 947-0023, 947-0023.
And we love questions of a financial nature. Lots going on. Heidi Cartwright, first of all, let's start with starts. Heidi Cartwright joins us, our own RICP and Managing Director. Good morning, Heidi. Welcome.
Good morning. I'm delighted to be here today.
Yeah, great to have you here, too. And then Deanne Jennings, our Director of Operations. Good morning, Deanne, over there.
Good morning, everyone. Pleasure to be here.
So what a week. Yesterday, we had Bob Simpson talking about Social Security in our classroom, full class, talking about Social Security and all of its ins and outs. And honestly, I was surprised at the number of questions from the classroom.
Lots of questions.
Yes, and we're talking already about having him back in on this fall at some point, trying to get him rescheduled because there was so much interest we filled up and there was a waiting list as well.
Yeah, and this was part of our Lunch and Learn series that we have where the third Wednesday of every month we have a different topic and we brought Bob in to talk and wow, there is, I learned stuff that I didn't know, and there's so many different rules in Social Security, and it was great to have a refresh on it, but to also learn some new things.
It sure was. Is there a question, Ron?
Yeah, we can get a quick question here before we continue. We'll go to Horton Bay. We talked about Ernest Hemingway earlier today. Horton Bay is Hemingway Company, our country. Sylvia is on the line with a question for Dennis. Good morning, Sylvia.
Good morning, Ron.
Hi.
Hi, Dennis and
Hi.
Heidi.
Good morning.
Hi. And Colleen. Good morning, everyone. I have a couple quick questions. I was divorced February 14th of all days in 2023, so I would still file my taxes as married, but file separately, even though I was really single the whole year, pretty much. I'd still have to file married.
Honestly, I think you can file married, but that would be a question for your tax advisor. And I don't know that it would be married, but separately, because then your taxes are going to be that much greater. I think you can still file as married, but I don't know the answer to that question. You want to confirm that with your tax consultant.
See, I think even H&R Block can answer that on the phone or something like that.
Sure.
But
relatively easy.
I never even thought about because I'm older and I tried to get tax help, but they're all booked out. You know, they've been booked since the beginning of March.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to do them myself. But and the other big question was I have a 408 Roth IRA.
Okay.
And it's and I can't read the back instructions on the sheet. And it said that when I had it, I got it like back in 2011. So it's qualified. It's got a Q in its box.
Okay.
So, and it says that Chase Bank told me that the taxes were already paid on it.
Yeah.
The earnings were tax deferred.
Yes.
So that to me that means that while it was in the IRA, growing, the taxes were being paid on it. So now that I just started taking them out, like a portion out, and every July I get a portion of it now.
You get a portion of it. Why do you get a portion of it?
A distribution.
No, it's like her
A distribution.
From a Roth IRA?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why? Is this one that you inherited then? Is that what you're saying?
No, I started it for my pension way back when.
Okay, so you started distributions because you wanted to take income from it. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, because I'm going to be 70 and I get distributions till I die, I guess, on this one. So anyway, would I only pay taxes then on the earnings, like on the distribution they're paying me? I mean,
No, the Roth is tax-free when it comes out, as long as you've had it for 5 years, okay?
Okay, so...
So the amounts are tax-free that come out. You don't have to take distributions unless you'd like to, all right?
Right, but I wanted to because, you know, I'm old.
You want to start the income from it. You've been deferring it long enough, and you want to take income. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Okay.
And so I started that in July.
All right.
And, like, the distribution was, like, $5,000. So... And I did get a 20, it was, you know, what do you call it?
A 1099.
1099 form.
Yeah, I'm trying to see, I want to tell you, 1099R, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So are you saying I don't have to put that on my taxes then?
Correct. It's not taxable.
Then why would they send me the gross distribution? Why would they send me?
For your records.
Hmm.
They're
showing that they're going to check the box that it's not taxable if they've checked it correctly, okay?
Well, it's checked, you know, then this is what's really hard. It's box 2B, and it's checked, and it says taxable amount not determined.
Well, it's non-taxable because they want you, because it could potentially be if you haven't had it in there for more than 5 years. But they're telling you, based on your length, you're telling me that you've owned it since 2011, I think you said?
Yes.
Yeah, so because of that, that would mean then that in most cases, that's not going to be taxable. If you do have further questions, I would invite you to call us and speak with Heidi at our office or myself. That phone number 231-947-3992, and we can answer these general questions for you, and especially these forms. Sometimes they can be confusing, as you've already highlighted. Okay.
It would be okay if I called Heidi then?
Sure, absolutely.
Be wonderful.
She'd be happy to answer your questions.
Yep, just call. Here's the number again, 947-3992. Okay, Sylvia?
3992. Okay,
all right.
Thank you, guys.
Yep, thank you very much for
the
call in Horton Bay.
Sorry, Ron. The beauty of tax forms. As you get, you know, you get an idea how complicated this is.
Yeah.
Well, it's not taxable unless...
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. So, you know, even I have to hedge on that. Even I, yes. Because even though she's indicated that it was there since 2011, if she had contributions to it that were after within the five-year period, then potentially some of the earnings from it could be taxable. So that's
right. And all of the custodians out there are required anytime you take money out of an IRA, be it whatever kind of IRA it is, to provide that 1099. Just because you get that, like Dennis said, you have to determine was that taxable or not.
Yes.
So that's where the different codes come into play and reporting that correctly on the form.
You bet. Sometimes we may require a look at that tax form just so that we can see it as well, so that they can be that confusing. Now, let's talk about the upcoming Lunch and Learns.
All right.
Our own star of the day, Heidi Cartwright, is going to be doing the 529 plans.
It's going to be a good class.
Yeah. Are you going to move up here, by the way, Dean?
Oh, yeah.
I was curious.
Well, I was going to wait for break.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. Just talking about details here.
She's sitting in the seat.
Yeah, I'm sitting in the comfy chair.
So 529 plans on April 17th. Now, these have opened up dramatically. So why would you want to potentially attend this course lunchtime, noon to one? Because if the 529 plan has been in there longer than 15 years, you can convert it to a Roth for that child. Amazing. Mm-hmm. So let's say there's 10 grand in that 529 plan, and they never needed it. They were so good. They got all the scholarships and on it went. Or they went to some other trade school where they didn't need perhaps as much funds, or they had scholarships there as well. Who knows? Anyway, if they don't need it
for education,
at college and so forth, anything related to educational expenses, tuition, books, fees, the gamut, if you will, you could potentially help them convert that 529 to their Roth, depending on if it's been in there 15 years, they have earned income. And if they've ever earned income, then you can convert whatever amount up to the contribution for that year that's allowed within a regular Roth IRA. So that's an amazing option. If they're not going to use it for education, they could potentially use it for retirement. Next is Medicare 101 on May 15th. Dawn McConnell and Laverna Whitcup from Ford Agency are going to be at the Prout Classroom May 15th, Wednesday, noon to 1.
And that class is over half full already, so if you're interested, call in.
Get signed up. Mm-hmm. It's no wonder. Meetings. Medicare can be complex. And lastly, June 19th, Estate Plan Wellness Check. Courtney Danbrook does a great job teaching from DAR Law. She'll be discussing the importance of routine maintenance for your estate plan. Estate Plan Wellness Check, June 19th, Wednesday, noon to 1.
Can I just say I have a image in my head when you talk about converting things to Roth IRAs.
Sure.
To Ed Slott standing next to some machine cranking it with people jamming paper in one side and Roth IRAs coming out the other side.
I like that.
That's awesome.
I had no idea your mind was so illustrative. That's great, Ron.
The Roth conversion machine.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. It's magic.
What once was 100% taxable is now 100% non-taxable. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you want to ride on that train? Mm-hmm. And especially given how low tax rates are these days. And by the way, next week, Chris Warren, the general manager here at WTCM, will be in talking about his transition internally here at WTCM. To a general manager position, and we've been talking about transitioning out for those who transition out, but I thought it'd be interesting to hear from one who transitioned in, if you will, to overseeing the station and managing it. So we'll have him on next Thursday to hear of his story of the transition.
We'll be sure to load up the sound effects machine.
And there you go.
There you go.
All the pain and suffering from those who work here as well. All the teasing and so forth that goes on. You bet. And then this week, we're talking about small cap stocks. 7 opportunities to watch in 2024. Now, Heidi made the very good point that small cap stocks are really not that small. They're $6 billion or less in current market value are considered small caps. So $6 billion, relatively large companies in terms of comparison to a small company, perhaps here in Traverse City, Michigan, but small relative to the large cap stock universe. Now, what's interesting is that over the last couple of years, the gap in both returns and valuations between small cap and large cap has expanded against the backdrop of tighter monetary policy. Well, guess what? As we've just been talking, the Fed is starting to hint toward easing. I think they mentioned in their statements yesterday that easing would happen 3 different times potentially this year. The index is trading near the small cap index, rather, is trading near a 20-year low on a relative basis versus large caps. A 20-year low. Are you with me still? Class? See?
What do you mean by that, a 20-year low for
a
small cap? 20-year
low relative to the price of large cap stocks. Okay. The P.E. ratios, and you can see here in 2009 or so, it was about 160% that small caps were trading versus large cap. Well, today they're at about 90%. So they've dropped about 60 to 65% in relative value to large cap stocks. That would perhaps tend to indicate that there's greater value in small caps. Well, how would one potentially even invest in something like that? Don't those have greater volatility? And why would I want to do that? I mean, the large cap stocks are the ones that have had all the returns here recently. That's exactly why you may want to look at them. Because what we're trying to do here is look at what potential value there might be. And by the way, this article is from Capital Group, which runs American Funds. They've been in business since 1934. They've been at managing money for a while.
The idea is to buy when it's low or lower.
Exactly.
With potential for growth.
Mm-hmm. As evidenced Dennis this morning, what did Dennis do upon reading this article and actually studying it for the last few days? I went into my own 401k plan and took about 10% of it and moved it to a small cap fund within the 401k. So see, you can do that yourself.
Do you still have the portal on your page?
Like we do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We've got an app.
And clients can go in and make their own adjustments.
No, not through our app, but in your own 401k is what I'm speaking
of. Through your employer plan.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Already, if clients have monies managed through us, depending on the style and all of that, many of those already have small caps in the portfolio. So that diversification can be extremely important going forward. And it, depending on your own risk tolerance, of course, taking into account your ability to withstand that risk, could this make sense? There are many different ways you can do this through your 401k, with your financial advisor, having that conversation with them. Do I already own small caps? When you review with your advisor, which we do, we show you where you're at in terms of that overall allocation so you can know.
Because small caps are usually seen as being having more risk than large. Mm-hmm. So because those companies are smaller and they don't have maybe the depth or the cash on hand that the larger companies may. So just keep in mind that small cap may be more risk than a large cap, but it could be an opportunity.
Yes, that's what we're talking about. And it's interesting. Capital Group mentions that they're finding many opportunities overseas now as well. Japan, Nordic countries of Sweden and Norway, and Greece, and prominent Asian markets, notably India. Now, small caps tend to beat large caps. It's only recently, since about 2017, that they've not. So you can go all the way back to the year 2000 in looking at when small caps beat large caps. It was almost every year. So this relative, this is a relatively recent phenomenon going on in terms of small caps not beating large caps. Given that reality, it's another possible reason that you may want to consider small caps as a part of your portfolio. And it's amazing, again, the ways that you might do that. Number one, so the seven reasons why you might want to look at that: growing tailwinds from global infrastructure. Significant investments from governments and multinationals are expected to be a source of sustained demand in the years ahead. Pipelines, supply chains has brought new life to the industrial complex. Everything from electrical grids to pipelines. So there are a lot of the infrastructure build going on. As an example, a huge HVAC company, their $4.3 billion backlog as of September 30th, was $1 billion higher than the same period in 2022. They use as an example. So this shows there could be significant opportunity from the infrastructure built. Two, European industrial roll-ups offer compelling business models. Could be more reasons, mergers and acquisitions going on in European countries. Three, the AI revolution, which we've talked about. The evolution of AI applications will have a significant impact across industries. Suppliers to the semiconductor industry, as well as information technology services firms, could be involved. Production of specialized chemicals, gases, and adhesives, used in the semiconductor production and packaging. Well, how in the heck would I know a particular stock that might be involved with that, correct?
Exactly.
That's why you may decide you want to use mutual funds or ETFs where you have professionals managing these types of accounts so that they can take advantage of this. And necessarily, and especially if you have somebody who's really good at this sort of thing, which of course is what you want, they're going to have the expertise to take a look at these companies and say, well, of these three, this one perhaps is a great example of a company that I'd like to invest in.
I read a few months ago, AI is going to probably replace a lot of people in jobs. And mm-hmm. one of the categories is a level of financial analysts, people usually right out of college mm-hmm. who analyze some of these companies. Then they bump it up to the next level for further analysis.
Sure.
But AI might be able to do all the analysis.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if it's accurate, right?
Yeah.
India, number four, India is fertile ground for small caps. Significant government investment in infrastructure as well in India, increasing domestic consumption, and India's rise as an alternative to China for manufacturing mobile phones and all the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So India could be a great opportunity. You may want to take a look at world small cap funds as a result of those particular notes. Five, Greek banks. Greece.
I know. I
Seriously.
Was really surprised mm-hmm. when I read this because, you know, the last we really heard about Greece, they were in so much trouble.
No
and
kidding.
Their banking industry was under stress. And to read about the changes in this article that have happened in Greece was very interesting. Mm-hmm.
Isn't it interesting, too, that when you think about the news, you know, usually someone or a company or a country is getting trashed and then you never hear of its recovery. As in perhaps Iceland is a good example. Oh, my gosh, they went through that whole period where their government went belly up and all the rest. And now, from what I hear, although I haven't been there recently or read about it, they're doing okay. So financial bailouts from 2012 to 2015, severe debt troubles required those financial bailouts. Today, the country is no longer in financial distress. Greece is one of Europe's fastest growing economies. Who would have thought?
I know.
Isn't that crazy?
That's fascinating.
So these mutual funds, again, where they're managing money on a world or a global basis, can give you exposure possibly to assets or areas that you never would want to get or could get on your own. Six, biotech may bounce back. We may be at a trough for valuations in the biotechnology sector. If interest rates move lower, it could be a catalyst for improved sentiment. And I'm only covering small parts of this article, mm-hmm. just yeah. so you can, you know, keep up with it or try to stay awake, right? Lastly, seven, the IPO market may thaw with reasonably priced deals. The IPO market may yield opportunities to selectively invest in promising companies at reasonable valuations. And Heidi mentioned there was an IPO coming out, an initial public offering coming out today, with expectations that major global central banks are nearing the end of a rate hiking cycle again. There is hope that IPO activity can rebound after a quiet couple of years. And guess who gets the first offerings of those? Institutional money managers mm-hmm. tend to get the first offering and tend to have a lot more information in terms of the releases that have been done. And also the private conversations that could be had with these individuals that are part and parcel of these IPOs. And helping them determine, is this a good value to get involved with? Now, lastly, take a measured approach. Small caps are at the center of a lot of innovation around the world. New tech, new approaches to doing business, new markets and products. What decades ago was largely a U.S. phenomenon has become more global. Of course, given the nature of smaller companies, many of them can also fall by the wayside when new trends emerge. So we remain selective and measured in our investments in small cap stocks, as they say. The opportunity is ripe to buy promising companies at valuations that in aggregate appear very reasonable by historical measures. But please know, the risk is greater with these types of companies.
Yes. All right. Small caps.
That's mm-hmm. the end of our article. And it is the first time that I've ever done this show that we have talked about small caps mm-hmm. and the possible yeah. opportunity. For the record, so we've been doing this for 15 plus years. So keep this in mind in terms of risk and potentially how might you participate even in small amounts to add to the overall return and diversification of your portfolio. what retirees can do right now to reduce next year's taxes. Well, this is 2024. Generally, we think about taxes as being due in the year after we participate. But thinking about this year, how you can be more perhaps directly involved in saving taxes as you perhaps lick your wounds from what happened in 23. So let's talk about 24, Heidi.
Yeah, you're right. So we're all like finishing up or getting those taxes done from last year for 2023. And who wants to talk about taxes for 2024? But the thing is you do want a plan for 2024 to sort of smooth the way so you have no surprises next year at this time. And taxes, as we know, never end. They go on every year.
They do indeed.
So this article comes to us from Yahoo Finance, and they interviewed Ed Slott, who is familiar to a lot of our listeners. We reference him a lot. He's an expert CPA in retirement accounts, and Dennis and I are both part of his Master Elite program, where
yes,
we get to go to school and learn every year all the new things going on. So one thing that Ed points out in this article is the first thing is people are going to see larger RMDs this year. This could happen because we had a positive market last year, increasing returns. We're coming off that 2022 where the market was down. And also, as you get older, the percentage you have to take out with required minimum distributions increases. So this article is really referring to those required minimum distribution planning. Those are for people right now who are over 73, but many people have been taking them for many years.
That's right. And I've got the uniform lifetime table just in case anybody wants to know what I'm looking at here. At age 72, the amount that you have to draw is 3.65% of your IRA balance at the end of the previous year. By the time you're 82, it's 5.4%. By the time you're 92, it's 9.26%. So those numbers, there's two forces that could cause your RMD to go up over time. Well, as long as you're still alive, the amount that you have to draw goes up. But if the account balance continues to rise, that would be another reason.
At that for if you reach 120, Dennis.
Yeah. By the time you're 120, it's 50%.
Which is significant.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that, Ron?
No, I cannot imagine that.
You're 120 years old. You got to take out half the IRA. I mean, you know, what's there left?
I don't think I'd care at that point. So if that's a fact of what's happening, the RMDs go up, how do you better prepare then?
Exactly, and that's what this article is about, Ron. It's vital that you manage these withdrawals wisely so you don't get a surprise next year at this time. So let's remind everyone a little bit of the nuts and bolts of RMDs. This is the amount you are required to withdraw, and it's calculated, like Dennis said, by dividing your tax-deferred retirement account balances, or IRAs, traditional IRAs, or maybe plan balances.
Or 401ks and all the rest.
Exactly. And you divide it by the divisor that you find on that table. Now, just one caveat. If you have a spouse that's more than 10 years younger than you are, and they are the beneficiary on your IRA, you would use a separate table. Also, beneficiary IRA owners have a separate table as well when figuring their RMDs.
So if he or she, your spouse, is more than 10 years younger than you, then you get to take a smaller sum. And we do see that once in a while. All right. Okay. Thanks, Heidi.
So they're trying to help you keep those balances for a longer period of time to let it last over both lifetimes.
There. Right.
Right. So as you get older, the percentage of your assets that must be withdrawn ramps up. So you can withdraw more than the required minimum distribution, but it doesn't count towards your required amount in future years. So each year you get a new calculation on that required minimum distribution. So if you took more than you had to last year, you don't get a credit against this year's RMD.
Yeah, the only credit you might possibly get is if you've drawn enough to keep the balance the same or actually decrease the balance in your IRA. Then that credit would occur because you'd have less to uses a divisor against the withdrawal. Okay.
So if you are above the RMD age, there is one exception to avoid RMDs from tax-deferred accounts. Like that would be if you are still employed and you're in the 401k or your employer plan where you're working, you do not need to take an RMD from that account if you're still working for that employer.
Yeah, as long as you're not more than a 5% owner in the company.
Correct. There is that other additional rule there.
Yes.
Okay, so most firms will calculate your RMD for you. You'll get a notice in the mail from your custodian. But you want to make sure that you're checking on that because we have run across, Dennis, where actually sometimes those calculations are made in error.
Correct. You bet. We do see that.
So another tip is you can automate these RMDs. You can put it on, like, say, every year, I would like to get my RMD on April 1st, and the company will just send you that amount automatically. This can be helpful to you because there is a penalty if you forget to take your RMD, and that is at 25%. That is an adjustment from the previous 50% penalty, and that came to us under the Secure 2.0 rules.
The form to file if you do forget, or you can blame it on your advisor, which sometimes can be the case, is Form 5329, so you can get that corrected and possibly avoid that penalty. It's important to know that. So if you do face such a penalty, make certain you do your homework in terms of speaking to your advisor and or your tax consultant about that.
Exactly. And you don't want to ignore it because if you do correct it within the first 2 years, they'll reduce that penalty to 10%. So it always behooves you with the IRS not to let problems continue on and procrastinate in taking care of them.
Yeah, 10% or zero if in some cases. So that can be helpful. And then charitable contributions, those have changed as well, Heidi. Tell us about that.
Yes, charitable contributions. This is what we've talked about on the show. They're called QCDs, Qualified Charitable Distributions. And this is where you make distributions to a charity from your tax-deferred retirement account, so from your IRA. And the reason this is involved with the RMD discussion is because any of those amounts that you give to charity through a QCD will count towards that required minimum distribution amount for that year.
As long as it's done before the RMD is taken, that's another part of that pie.
Correct.
And the amount that can be given
is 105, I believe, this year.
Yeah, 105,000 for 24. Significant amount.
And another key point for people who are taking qualified charitable distributions, the 1099 form will not show that distribution was given to charity and not should not be included in your income for tax purposes. You need to know that so that you can tell your tax preparer or you can note that when you're doing your taxes. So there is no code or memo on that 1099 that's going to say, hey, $1,000 of this distribution I gave to charity.
That's why we send that letter every year to our clients. Here's the amount of a QCD that you did out of your IRA. Make certain that you give this to your tax consultant because many people might wind up missing that.
And before we look at some stats with Deanne, we have a call from Kent calling in from Traverse City today. Good morning, Kent.
Hey, guys. Listen, do I understand you correctly that you got to take your RMD the year you turn 70 and a half?
No.
What? That age has changed.
What is it now? 72 and a half.
73.
It's 73.
Oh, 73.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, and then the other question is, real quick, I'm semi-retired and I still do a little work. Does that get me off the hook in terms of having to take an RMD?
From your 401k, it does.
Yeah, I've got an IRA.
Yeah, excuse me. Are you speaking of any money in a 401k that you have?
No, just
okay.
IRA.
No, it doesn't release you from the IRA RMD.
Yeah,
okay.
You still have to take it.
Thank you.
All right, thank you, Kent, for the call there in Traverse City. As we
you see the importance of getting these details.
Yeah.
And honestly, excuse me, the part of the problem is, you know, and trying to answer these questions on the radio. We do appreciate them. I'm not saying that we don't. It's just that everyone's situation is different, and many times it's better to have these conversations face to face, because the communication is just better. So I would say, while we're doing our best to answer the questions, confirm this with your tax consultant or other advisor whenever we're answering these on the radio. We're not able to, we don't have the time to ask fully, usually in these situations, to get your full situation.
Well, like we discussed earlier, there's a lot of nuances. There's the rule, then there's the exception, then there's the exception to the exception.
And then the rule changes.
Exactly. So you need to have the whole picture, and so you need to have a conversation with your financial advisor on some of these issues so you make sure that you're doing the most tax-efficient choice.
If you're young enough, the RMDs are going to change to 75.
That's right.
So, you know, that'll be a new number here in about, 5-10 years or so.
Mm-hmm. And kind of along the same lines, Dennis, you've challenged me personally, like before the radio show when we were doing our review in your office, you looked at Heidi and I are like, when was the last time you looked at your 401k?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. This is just a good reminder. We need to always be looking, always asking questions, always seeking out financial professionals. Because things change and you get busy. Exactly. Yeah. So that has been a good challenge for me.
Client yesterday, I said, he was reviewing his statements. I said, that's the best thing you could do. You know, even though you may not understand everything that they're saying, make sure and review those things. So you can ask your advisor, mm-hmm. okay, what does this mean? What's going on here? You know, do I need to know this? That sort of thing.
Yep.
All right, stats. Do we have any time left here, Ron? We do indeed.
Oh, Deanne. Okay.
Let's do those stats, please.
Speaking of small caps, according to research from Schroders, small cap stocks saw a 9.9% annualized net total return during recession and recovery periods over nearly 40-year period. That included numerous recessions, including the global downturn of 2007-2008. Large cap stocks saw average returns of 4.9% over that same period, and that source is Schroders.
Interesting, eh? So at some points, as stated, small caps have done quite a bit better.
J.P. Morgan Chase studied 31,000 people as they approached and entered retirement between 2013 and 2018. The vast majority, which was 84% of the retirees who had already reached RMD age, were only withdrawing the minimum. And there you have it.
You have two stats.
All right.
We got them in.
There it is.
Clock is ticking away there.
Thanks, Deanne.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure appreciate it.
Yeah.
Prout Financial Design, New Retirement Radio on WTCM every Thursday, 10 to 11 live, 9 o'clock Saturday morning recorded. Call 947-3992. Information on lunch and learn, make an appointment, whatever. Thank you all for being in.